welcome to App Fabric TV. That's right. I said App Fabric TV. This is a new name for our old show, Endpoint TV. And it's all about this whole new emphasis we have around App Fabric. Of course, we've had Windows Server App Fabric for a long time. Now we've got Windows Azure App Fabric picking up new support, and things are happening there. So here it is. App Fabric TV, check it out. All right, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Dustin Metzger. And Dustin, tell me about yourself. What do you do?
I work on the performance team that's also on App Fabric. So I do a lot of performance investigations. I do a lot of work with customers and things like that regarding performance.
Okay, so this spans both WCF and workflow. Yeah, I know you did a great paper on workflow performance, and so in the performance team, so what happens is, like, if somebody, whether it's a customer or even some other part of Microsoft who uses our stuff, says, we're having some performance issues, they come to your team, and so you get assigned to look at something. So today we're going to talk about some stuff that you posted on the team blog. It was really cool. Now tell me about the problem. What was the problem that was going on here?
So the... we had customer complaints basically from people that are using the Velocity Cache or
App Fabric caching.
Right,
okay.
So a number of customers are using this, and they have like a WCF middle tier, and then they have an App Fabric cache out behind. And then when they call into their middle tier, it does grabs a whole bunch of stuff from the cache. And eventually, like... it starts to slow down as far as how much work it can handle in bursts.
Yeah.
And it's one of those problems that, like, you know, you make a fix for it and then you test it out and it works just fine when you test it, but if you let it go for a few hours, eventually it will start to break down and then it gets pretty slow. So it's one of those things that was a little bit hard to catch, but once we got into it, it was it became pretty apparent what was going on.
Okay, so people are using App Fabric Cache. When they go to get something out of the cache, we make a call to the caching servers. So that call is made over WCF.
Correct.
Right, and it's using NetTCP binding and all that goodness. So it's, you know, so they're fine if it's just like kind of regular traffic. But every now and then you get like this burst, like a ton of traffic.
Right.
And then the thing just starts to slow down.
Yeah, it's what happens is that we're actually using up threads to handle that traffic. And when you're using that thread, you're trying to do work on it. And it's holding that thread, like, hostage, basically. So when you come in with a whole bunch of work, you need more threads to handle all that work at the same time.
Okay. So what we want to do today is talk about this specific problem, but I also, you know, want to show people what kind of tools of the trade? What are things that you do to troubleshoot problems like this? Because everybody has to check problems like this. So what was the first thing you did when you saw this?
So usually the first thing that we go through is, like, we ask them what are their settings as far as their throttling settings. Because usually, like, if a burst of work comes in, you will get a problem where you hit the throttle and then you'll be stuck right up against the throttle, and then all you have to do is just change it, and it will let more work go through.
Okay, so WCF has a throttling setting, so that's in config, right? So you can just go and turn that knob. So, you know, that could be the problem. In this case, was not the problem, though, right?
No, they'd adjust the throttles, and, you know, it makes no difference.
Okay.
So if we, you know, we started to look at, okay, what's happening when they actually do this. So usually what we'll do is we'll ask for a dump file, and then they'll reproduce the problem when it starts going slow, and then they'll take a crash dump or any, like, kind of mini dump.
And how do you do that? How do you make a dump file?
So actually it's pretty easy. Let's see.
Oh, so you're using the Process Explorer tool. Okay. From sysinternal, well, that's actually a Microsoft thing, but just sysinternal's on it still. Okay, so you can create a dump right here.
Yeah, and you just, you know, right-click on a process and create the dump right there. Now, Test Manager will do the exact same thing. And there's a little caveat there with when you're running on 64-bit.
Yeah.
If you want to, get a dump of like a 32-bit process, because sometimes people do this.
Right.
You have to actually run the 32-bit version of Task Manager, and then you can right-click and get
a
correct dump. Because otherwise it gets a little backwards. It's like a 64-bit dump of a 32-bit process, and it's...
Yeah, the console. Okay, I gotcha.
But the easy answer is basically you just right-click on it in Task Manager, and you can get a dump, or you can go through Process Explorer and does the same thing.
Cool. Okay, great. So you get a dump, and then you can load the dump up and see what was going on at the time when all this slowness was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, usually what we'll do is you just, like in WinDebug,
mm-hmm.
Which is at windebug.org. You can download it from there.
Okay. So this is, you're not Visual Studio Debugger here. You're in WinDebug, which is kind of a low-level debugger tool. I mean, if people have never used it before, it can be a little intimidating, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a... All right, anyway.
So there's a bunch of steps for that, but basically, you know, you do like a bang threads, and it will dump out all the threads, and you can take a look at, you know, how many threads you have open, and you kind of... then you could do something like a tilde star K, and it will dump out all the stacks for every thread that's in the... app domain at that time.
Okay.
And you can see like where they're all stuck. Now for the dumps that we were seeing from the customers for this particular issue, they were all stuck waiting to get a thread.
Mm.
So they're all just kind of like hanging out waiting to, you know, to do work.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute, because mm-hmm. it's very interesting. So when the client sends a message to the server, WCF gets this message,
mm-hmm.
and talk me through what happens. Now there's a thread pool that it's using to process these messages. It's the I/O thread pool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so the I/O thread pool is meant really just for kind of getting stuff off the wire and getting it back out, and you know,
right.
and that kind of stuff. But ideally, you want the I/O thread pool to be doing a little tiny bit of work, right?
Yeah, that's what it was meant for, is you get the network packet in, and then you have that I/O thread pool, and it will give you an I/O thread, and then you can do some little bit of work on there.
Okay.
And then when we were working on WCF early on, and they actually created a thread setup that uses the I/O thread pool,
uh-huh.
so that we could control the little bits of work that we put on the thread, just to make it easier. It's like we're not using the worker thread pool, we're using the I/O thread pool. So there's definitely a separation there. So
okay, so WCF has seen a message come in,
mm-hmm.
and it's now waiting. You said it was all these threads were blocked, kind of waiting for something. What
yes.
are they waiting for?
So in the case of this at fabric caching, they're actually calling out to a cache, and then they're waiting for the response from the cache.
Okay.
So while they're waiting, it's kind of a synchronous, like not an asynchronous, but a synchronous call where they're just waiting for the return value to come from that cache.
Okay.
And then once they do that, they can continue doing their work and respond. So the whole time they're just holding that thread,
uh-huh.
waiting for that response.
Okay.
So it's kind of like
on the server side, they're blocked waiting.
Well, it's very similar if you had like a WCF middle tier,
uh-huh.
and then you were calling to a database or
okay.
some other WCF back end,
uh-huh.
and you made like synchronous calls to that back end, you're waiting for the response to come back.
Uh-huh.
So you're holding that thread waiting for that response.
Okay, so you got this thread is kind of blocked, waiting for something, and you got a whole bunch of these threads that are blocked, waiting for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't necessarily wrong, it's just
no.
just the way that it's happening, because it's making these calls and waiting for the cache service to get back to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The biggest problem is that when it all comes in one big shot, like you get this big burst of work. If it
mm-hmm.
was a constant
yeah.
burst of work, you'd have, you know, you'd keep those threads alive.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have a problem.
Right.
Because there'd be that many threads, like, there and waiting and ready to go.
Now, it's important, you know, people have often assumed, oh, threads are great. More threads, the more the merrier. Let's just make lots of threads.
Yeah.
But actually, at the OS level, threads are expensive, right? They're expensive
yes.
to create. if you have lots of them, then the CPU is doing all this context switches between threads, which is slows things down. So mm-hmm. more threads is not necessarily better, which is why we have thread pools, right?
Yes. So it is expensive to create one and then remove one, so we create the thread pool, and then you can just schedule work to go on it.
Uh-huh.
The thread pool is managed so that it's supposed to adjust appropriately to the amount of work that you have on the server.
Uh-huh.
So if you have tons of work going through and you need 100 threads up all the time, it'll keep those 100 threads on the pool, and
right.
then it will constantly schedule work on those. But if like your work drops all of a sudden, you don't want that whole 100 threads there for a number of reasons. One of them being that each thread that you have is a half a meg worth of working set. So if you have a whole bunch of them that are just sitting there doing nothing, then you're just wasting memory.
Right, right. So, well, and in fact, so the thing that manages the thread pool,
mm-hmm.
it looks and says, oh, I got all these threads, but they're all blocked. I better make some more.
Mm-hmm.
And does that sort of thing, which is why we're always harping on people. It's a good idea to be asynchronous,
right?
Because then the thread isn't blocked,
mm-hmm.
and so the thread pool manager is happy. It says, my threads aren't blocked. You know, they're working. That's great. That's good.
Right.
But whenever a thread is blocked, just waiting for something, it's a thread that could be doing something but isn't because it's just waiting, and that's
right.
not great.
Yeah, it's not good to have those there. And also, there's another aspect to how the thread pool tunes itself.
Mm-hmm.
If the actual work that's being done on the thread is CPU intensive,
mm-hmm.
then what you don't want to do is add more threads every time you get more requests in,
mm-hmm.
because then you'll get into this thing where you start thrashing, where it's starting to switch threads for the CPUs that are available, and then you're actually going slower
yeah.
than you would if you had just throttled your work down to what you can handle.
Ah, yeah.
So that's another aspect of what it tries to do. I think the limit is like 95%. So if your CPU starts to get above 95%, it will be reluctant to add more threads to the thread pool to handle the work that you're doing.
Oh, right, right. Because it just would start thrashing and all the switching,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't help. Okay, so great. So you saw all these threads are blocked. They're waiting for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
So what we do is we just try to see what's going on with how the threads are scaling up. Like if this burst of work comes in and everything's kind of waiting and we're waiting for responses from the back end, why are we not scaling up? So one of the things would be that it's, you know, the min I/O threads on the thread pool mm-hmm. is not high enough. So what will happen is that when you set like min I/O threads to 100 and you get that burst of work of 100, then it's saying that, okay, I can come in and I can create up to 100 all in one shot, all those threads at the same time. And then above that, I have to meter how many I can create all the way up to the max.
So min I/O threads is a setting, and where is the setting found?
Well, it's in two places.
Yeah.
There's a threadpool.setminthreads,
uh-huh.
and then there's in the process model in the machine config, which is what you would use if you're on IIS. You would
okay.
set it there.
Okay. So you go in your machine config, you'll see a min I/O threads. Okay, so mm-hmm. that's just our way of saying, look, if you got a bunch of work to do, go ahead and spin up 100 threads, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is that we had a bunch of work to do, but we had a lot of requests that were queuing because mm-hmm. there was not an I/O thread to do work. And so you're like, well, hey, I thought we were supposed to spin up to 100 right away, and it wasn't happening.
Right. If you, like, looking at the dump files, if we have min I/O threads set to 100, and
yeah.
the dump file is saying that we've only got, like, 20 threads at
yeah.
the time, it's like, well, why is that happening? Because we have the min I/O threads set, so it should jump right up to handle the work.
Okay.
And it's not doing that.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of the problem that we ran into, and then it's trying to figure out, okay, how do we reproduce this, and then figure out what's happening behind the scenes there that's making that not work.
Now, at the time when you get to this point in the equation, do you know that it's related to bursts of work or not bursts, or you don't really know, do you?
At the, like, we actually didn't know at that time.
Uh-huh.
But what they were... what the customer had actually found out, which is some of our customers are actually pretty good at debugging this stuff. So
right.
they're monitoring their own performance counters, and then they start to see stuff like their thread counts are climbing slowly to handle the work.
Yeah.
And then eventually it'll drop off because the threads aren't being used, and then like another burst will come in and it will climb up slowly. So that's actually what they observed.
And how did they observe this?
They actually, it's not too bad. It's like you pull up like Perfmon.
Okay.
And let's see, I'll ping this service just to show you. So all I did was I have the thread count for the worker process.
Okay.
And I'm just showing, okay, this is how many threads are on there.
So there's 30 threads now?
Yeah. This is just, you know, you pinged it once and it all these threads get set onto that process.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of different purposes like GC and all kinds of things that are going on behind
right.
the scenes. But these threads aren't really doing any work. They're just, you know, they're there for specific functions.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So if I was to, let's see, because I have this program, this is from the blog entry of the same code mm-hmm. here. And basically, all it does is it spins up 100 threads in a different process and then synchronizes them so that they're all ready to call at the same time.
Yeah.
And then press enter, they all call at the same time, and it's supposed to simulate that burst of work.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'll just run that.
So when you thought, hey, this might be a burst of work, so you create a little app that's going to shoot a burst of work at your service so you can see mm-hmm. what's going on. Okay.
Absolutely. So starts 100 threads. It releases them all at the same time, and you can see like how this thread count is going slowly up. And it's you know, all 100 came in, and it's kind of slowly going up, and then all of a sudden you can see that it finishes here at 15.4 seconds.
Yeah.
Now if you were to look at the actual service and what it's doing, it's got a sleep for 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
So if you get 100 requests and all of them sleep for 2 seconds, the expectation is that all of them should finish in 2 seconds.
Right.
But in this case, it's taking 15 seconds to do that whole bit of work.
Okay. Yeah, because so if I got 100 requests, our min IO thread pool is 100, so we should be able to handle.
Well, we haven't said that yet. So.
Okay, we haven't said that yet.
Okay.
Okay, but if they were all running simultaneously, mm-hmm. they would all arrive, all wait 2 seconds, and all come back in roughly 2, maybe 3 seconds, maybe something like that. You mm-hmm. would expect. Okay. All right. So you see that's not happening, and let's go back to Perfmon for just a minute. Mm-hmm. That was kind of interesting.
Sure.
So this. You see it ramping up, and so some people will be like, well, why doesn't it just go, oh, there's a bunch of requests, poof, ramp up and kind of go on. Why is it ramping like on a, it's like climbing a hill here?
So one of the things that happens is that the thread pool has this gate thread,
uh-huh.
and the gate thread is responsible for determining how many threads go on the thread pool. So the idea is that if you get this burst of work, it's not supposed to immediately react
yeah.
to create all those threads, because as far as it knows, all those bits of work could be really, really small.
Okay.
So if it creates 100 threads, then it's just wasted time creating 100 threads when it probably only needed like one or two to handle all that work that.
And
that
creating threads is expensive.
Yes.
So there's a design assumption here from mm-hmm. the guy who designed the thread pool and the gate thread said, I think that people are going to do short bursts of work here,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to do it asynchronously.
Correct. Yeah.
And so I don't want to create too many threads because it's really expensive. By the time I finish creating them, the work might already be done.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Yeah. That's important to understand.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So then the gate thread has like this heartbeat. So it checks, and then it sleeps for 500 milliseconds. Mm. So the next 500 milliseconds, it checks again, and it says, okay, I've got way too much work, so I'll create another thread.
Okay.
And it keeps doing it. So every second you get another 2 threads, and that's what happens with this.
Okay, so that's why we see it start climbing, but kind of slowly. So it's
right.
We need to grow, but not too fast. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So the first thing that we'll obviously do, well, just to be sure, in the web config, we've already changed this max concurrent calls to 100.
Okay.
Just so that when we get that burst of work, we're not blocked on the throttle. If I took this out, it would block it for the default setting on what's on max concurrent calls, which I think is like 30 or something.
Okay, so WCF would actually be blocking in that case. So we eliminate WCF from blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we've got that burst of work coming in, and then we'll go into the machine config. We'll come down here. It's almost to the bottom. And you can see that there is a process model here.
Okay.
And then this is set to auto config.
Oh, okay.
So there's a very nice KB article that talks about what that autoconfig means.
Okay.
And basically in this article, we'll talk about, they have a resolution here where they say to successfully resolve these problems, you know, you do these steps.
Okay.
And this is a recommendation for earlier versions of the .NET framework. It's, here's what you set in order to handle the kind of normal traffic that you get on ASP.NET. So they figured this is pretty normal. We'll just make these automatic settings, and then we'll just configure it with that autoconfig setting in the process model, in the machine config.
Okay.
So this KB article actually is, you know, it's a throwback, basically. It kind of explains what they saw.
Yeah.
And then later on, in later versions of the framework, they changed it just so you wouldn't even have to think about this.
Right. So, and by the way, so the process model, mm-hmm. in this case, we're talking about if you're hosted in IIS.
Correct.
You run in a process called w3wp.exe,
mm-hmm.
and that's the process model. Okay.
Right.
All right. So, cool. All right. Just wanted to be sure. Okay.
So, if you didn't want to set it through there, actually, there's a... could do this real quick. Just to show. So there's a thread pool set min threads, and then you set the worker threads and the completion threads there, and you'd also have a set max threads.
So if you were self-hosting, not hosting an IIS, this is how you would do it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, cool.
So the process model includes like a lot of other things, like connections on system.NET and other settings that are actually pretty useful. So in the machine config, I'm going to turn off the auto config. I just have all these set here.
Okay.
You wouldn't see these normally, but
right.
So I'm just going to set the min IO threads to 100, max to 200, just to be safe. It doesn't have to be that high, but and then you have to make sure that you set the auto config to false.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if you just leave it to untrue, it's going to ignore any other setting you put there.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
So have that set, and then I will recycle this app pool.
So it picks up the new setting.
Correct.
All right.
And we'll check our... Yeah, so it's got very low thread count right there.
Okay.
And then I'll do another release of 100 threads and put that on there. And then you can see is that...
Whoa.
It jumps right up to 100. Well, actually... much higher, 136.
Wow, okay. So it gave you 100 threads for your work.
Correct.
Plus whatever overhead it had.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. So yeah, it really cranked up very quickly. And, whoa, the perf is much better.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah, so that's... So everything looks great, and it's like, okay, so we'll make that recommendation to the customer, and they'll take it, and, you know, we can say, you know, day's done. We did a good job. So.
Okay. Hold it right there, because we're going to tease this. All right. So the problem looks like it's solved, but it's not solved. And next time on AppFabric TV, Dustin is going to explain what he learned about really solving this and how you can really come to a good solution. So thanks for watching. We'll be back next time with Dustin to hear more about WCF and performance. So we'll see you next time on AppFabric TV.